It's the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. Holden Kushner with you. You get a chance. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. Fun show for you today. Going to talk a whole bunch of Nuggets as they get ready for their first round series against either OKC or Minnesota. And my guy Adam Mares from the DNVR going to hop on, break down the Nuggets heading into the playoffs. I'll do the same myself in just a moment. I got to talk some Broncos today. Broncos, yeah, Latavius Murray might not be back. Russell Wilson talk. And a longtime NFLer, Keyshawn Johnson, reacting to a question he had about how long the leash will be for Russell Wilson in Denver. I'm going to discuss that. The Avalanche, they've got a chance to wrap up the division and win us some money tonight. And then I can't believe this. Dinger was assaulted? Dinger? The Rockies mascot? Assaulted? I've seen the video. It must be talked about. First talked about, though, will be the Nuggets. There's no question that this team is one of the four best teams in the National Basketball Association. For some fans, I think not winning a championship, anything but winning a championship would be a disappointment. I think if you ask most fans, just getting out of the Western Conference would be a really, really big step. And if you ask some fans, hey, Final Four. For me, I think if you get to the Western Conference Finals again, just like you did a few years ago in the bubble, that is going to constitute a successful season in my eyes. But again, the Nuggets, they're not favored to win the West. They're definitely not favored to win at all. That's the Bucks at plus 225 on Bet Rivers. Then the Celtics and Suns, Warriors and Nuggets, both 8-1 to win it all. In the Western Conference, they're tied with the second shortest odds. It's the Suns plus 180 and the Nuggets and Warriors plus 300. Those are the odds going forward. Now, I'll tell you who I'd like the Nuggets to play in round one. They're going to play either Minnesota or OKC. So those two teams are going to play on Friday night for a chance to face the Nuggets. And I'm also going to say this. I am really, really happy. I haven't done a show since the Lakers play-in game. I'm just really glad that the Nuggets are not going to have to worry about the Lakers. Who wants to face LeBron and AD early in the playoffs in a series that could go seven games? You don't want that. You just don't want that. I think the Nuggets are better than the Lakers, and if they do end up facing off at some point in time during the playoffs, the Nuggets should win that series. But you don't win championships when your first round series goes seven games. It just rarely, if ever, happens. So the ideal path for me, OKC beats Minnesota. That's the first domino to fall. The second domino to fall would be the Clippers beating the Suns, so then you don't have to face the Suns, and hopefully the Warriors get knocked out. Look at this coming into that Lakers game, this was the possible road for the Nuggets just to get to the finals. Lakers, first round, Suns, second round, possibly the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Ooh, that would have been brutal, but they don't have the Lakers. So that's good. Anyways, here's my thoughts on whoever the Nuggets play in round one, whether that be the Thunder or the Timberwolves. First off, neither one of these teams belongs in the playoffs, okay? The Thunder were 40-42, and the T-Wolves were 42-40. Fine, you can make the argument that the T-Wolves should be the number 8 seed anyways. It's not really a good team. It should not be a long series either. 4 or 5 games. That's what should happen when the Nuggets play one of these two teams. This should be 4 or 5 game series. And if it's more, then the Nuggets could be in some trouble. NBA champions, I'm telling you, they don't often have 6 and 7 game series in the first round. You usually get through that round pretty easily when you're a number one seed. And I think they'll be fine against Minnesota too. Even though the big guys are in Minnesota with Kat and Rudy Gobert. And if you don't know Kat, that's Karl Anthony Towns. Jokic absolutely dominates head-to-head matchups with Rudy Gobert, though. So he's probably salivating over that possibility. Minnesota is in complete disarray. And you saw it on the court the other night. They looked great in the first half against the Lakers. They stopped moving the ball in the second half. Nobody wanted to take the big shot. The only guy that did take the big shot was Ant Edwards, and Ant couldn't hit the side of a barn. You got to be old to remember the name John Starks, but that reminded me of the 2-for-18 performance by John Starks in the NBA Finals about, what, 30 years ago? So what else is going on with the Timberwolves? Jalen Williams broke his hand punching a wall. That kills them defensively. He's one of their top two, three defenders. Gobert's a joke. Let's go. Put him out there against Jokic. Let's go see what happens. I know Kat's in there too. Carl Anthony Towns, three-point shooter and a rim defender. And listen, the Wolves, they're a talented team. But Tim Connelly's squad, and yes, you remember him, right? He left here. It's discombobulated right now. Edwards looked lost. He's injured. He played through the fourth quarter of that game against Los Angeles with tape on his left shoulder. He had ice packs on both his knees and an ice pack on his right hand in the locker room after that game. So there's some major problems going on with the Timberwolves now, despite the fact that they were right in it. I mean, they got to overtime against the Lakers. This team has a lot of holes, and they're just not as good as the Nuggets. OKC, what about them? They're a bad team. They should be sitting at home right now. They have good guards, all right? SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's a machine. Love watching this kid play. Gets to the net. They shoot the ball well from three. But here's the deal. Joker dominates the Thunder. He dominates everybody, right? But 24 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. So a triple-double there. Had a triple-double against the Timberwolves for the season series, but Karl Anthony Towns was gone for most of that. They have no answer for Jokic. Most teams don't, but they really don't with OKC. This should be a sweep. I think you get the Timberwolves get a win against the Nuggets. The Thunder don't get a win against the Nuggets. They have a worse bench than the Nuggets, which is saying something. Isaiah Joe, Andrew Wiggins, Dario Saric. So no matter what, the Nuggets are in good shape, and they should not have to play more than a five-game series in the first round. Huge advantage across the board against both. Now, I do want the Thunder to win Friday night. They're worse than the T-Wolves, and they're a better matchup than Minnesota, but both teams should have trouble. So let's look at the Thunder and Timberwolves odds on Bet Rivers. This thing was at 5, and some money's coming in on the Timberwolves now to make it 5.5. T-Wolves minus 215, OKC plus 180. On the money line, plus 180 for OKC, 227.5 total. I might wait a little while. I like this number at 5. I like this number at 5.5. I think as we get closer to the game, just because OKC is just so bad that more money's coming in on the Timberwolves. And I'm not saying that they're going to upset the Timberwolves, but I think this is going to be a closer game than 6 points, maybe even 5 points. So as it gets closer to Friday night, if this thing gets to 6, I'm backing OKC. If before the game starts, it's still sitting at 5.5, I'm going to back OKC. You know, anything 5 or below, I'm probably not going to hit. But you give me 5 and a hook or better, give me the Oklahoma City Thunder to cover in that game. Now, I already broke down both teams, but I do also want to say this. Since December 16th, Wolves and Thunder, identical 29 and 25 records. They're both just about even coming into the game. Minnesota getting a slight bump for home court advantage, but ultimately a toss-up game, and I will take the points in that one. That's number one of the Front Range Four. Four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. Still to come, we got to talk Avalanche because the Avs can wrap up the Central Division tonight, but we're not going there yet. We do have a whole bunch of Broncos players in town. We got Sean Payton in town, and we're starting to find out a little bit more about Sean Payton's mindset, although he doesn't want to give away too much. This is just a guy that keeps behind closed doors. It's not like Nathaniel Hackett come out and blab for you. You're not getting that out of Sean Payton. But I saw something from Mike Kliss, and it was just a Twitter headline from him, and he said, Buffalo needs Latavius Murray to ease short yardage from Allen. Samaje Perine, a younger, bigger version of Murray, so Latavius' return here is unlikely, even if he had two productive years with Peyton in New Orleans and has plenty left. Okay, so let me just address this real quick. That's fine if Buffalo gets Latavius Murray. I do think that the Broncos need Latavius Murray here. I am surprised, though, that they haven't signed him yet. It kind of makes me think that Sean Payton told him, listen, try and get another job. If they pay you more, take it. But they need Latavius Murray. I've seen a lot of Broncos football, and I've seen a lot of Bengals football. I go back, I watch every single game. I'm not even kidding. I watch every single football game every single week. And I'm telling you right now, Samaje Perine, Kliss could call him younger and bigger. That's fine. He is younger and he is bigger, but he doesn't do the same thing that Murray can do. And he's definitely not a bell cow running back. Okay. So Javonte is not likely going to be himself next season. If he is, it'd be toward the end of the year. You just look back at the history of complete knee reconstructions. It's not just the ACL. Like, that thing just blew up. They're going to need a body that could potentially be the early down back until Javonte is right. And Samaje Perine's not that guy. He's not a bell cow. There aren't many of those guys in the NFL, and he's not one of them. I know he's big. I know he's a great pass catcher, but even 5 or 6 games, I don't want Samaje Perine being the first, second, and third down back. Don't want it. And here's what Peyton said, Sean Peyton. I see position flex. If you watch Perine and study the tape on early downs, you see him playing third down. He's a really good receiver. He can pick up the blitz. He's big, physical, smart, tough, built to last. An important piece for us knowing the injury that we're dealing with. So he's talking about Javonte. And I think that they're going to need, first of all, Perine. Great sign. Love it. Love Perine being here. Number two, probably going to bring in a rookie, whether you draft him or an undrafted rookie, free agent. And three, you're going to either hope that Javonte comes back and he's there from day one, or you go out and you spend a little bit of money. And the available running backs that I don't see them paying for, Zeke Elliott, who's 27 with a ton of mileage, Leonard Fournette, 28, whose body seemed to be breaking down over the last couple of seasons, and Kareem Hunt, who I think Samaje Perine, I don't want to call him a poor man's Kareem Hunt, but he's not quite 100% Kareem Hunt. So here's my take on this. They're going to need two more running backs. It's not just Samaje Perine. Javonte comes back. You learn he's there week one. Great. Then you got Javonte on first and second down, and you got Perine to spell him. You don't have Javonte, then what do you have? Samaje Perine and who? A rookie or two? That's why I still think they should be in the mix for Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray has proven that he still has enough in the tank at 33 years old. Now, does this mean that it's a huge loss if they don't bring Latavius back? Absolutely not. I mean, he's 33, okay? But he has proven here that he could be a successful early down back. Now, I'm telling you right now, I don't see Javonte Williams, coming back and being the man that we saw before the injury. I don't see it happening next year. B, I don't definitely don't see it happening in the first half of next year. So you could still work the wire and bring in guys like Marlon Mack, like they did last year, and Latavius Murray. But if Buffalo signs Latavius Murray, A, that's a great signing for them. B, I still think he's needed here in Denver. Also, I want to talk about Russell Wilson for a moment. Haven't talked about Russell Wilson for a little while, have I? Well, it's time to get back on that train. Keyshawn Johnson. Now, if you're a younger feller, you don't remember Keyshawn Johnson in all likelihood, unless you watch ESPN. He's a hell of a good wide receiver, especially in college, good wide receiver in the pros. But Johnson was asked about Russell Wilson, and he reiterated what a lot of us already believe. He goes, I know Sean Payton very well. I can guarantee you that if it don't go the way he wants it to go, there's going to be some major changes and issues at the quarterback position in 2024. So, yeah, we know the leash is short. How short is the question? Does he get a full season? I think Russell Wilson is cognizant of this too. If he gets off to a slow start, 3-4 games, the Broncos aren't winning football games, I'm just not so sure Sean Payton gives him more than a half a season to prove himself. So Keyshawn Johnson saying there's going to be issues at 2024. If Russell Wilson gets off to a slow start, doesn't prove his worth halfway through the season, I think there's going to be major issues at the QB position in 2023. And that includes Jarrett Stidham coming in, who's a good backup. But you can't tell me Jarrett Stidham's going to be the guy to lead this team back to the playoffs. And adding insult to everything else, you know about the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? He still hasn't gone to the Jets. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, doesn't want to guarantee a first round draft pick, sending it to Green Bay after, quote unquote, what happened with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. So now this Russell Wilson trade, not just looking bad last year, it has owners and general managers around the league hesitant to part with a big package for an aging quarterback. Just some thoughts on the Broncos. Let's move on to number three in the front range for the Avalanche. Woo, we're closing in. We're closing in on cashing those tickets, baby. Those Central Division winning tickets at plus money. Here's what's going on with the Avs. The Stars have a 1-point lead in the Central. Dallas has one game to play. The Avs have two. So your Avalanche will clinch the Central Division title tonight if they beat the Winnipeg Jets in any fashion and the Stars lose to the Blues in regulation. Even if the Stars win tonight, if Colorado wins out, they win their last two, then the Avalanche win the division. They're sitting in the catbird seat right now. Now, prior to losing Wednesday in overtime against the Oilers, the Avalanche had won five in a row. They've gone 8-1-1 in their last 10, and they host the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And I have a bet for you. I'm telling you right now, Avs puck line minus 105 is going to be my play here. The total is six. I don't want to mess with the total. Arturi Lehkonen returns tonight. That should give the team a nice little jolt. You got the Jets who just clinched the playoff berth. So they're going to be sitting a lot of guys. That is the news that I've seen coming out of Winnipeg. They're going to be sitting a lot of guys when they come here to Denver. Backup David Rittich is likely in net tonight. It's okay for a backup. So they're going to be sitting a lot of guys. They've already clinched the eighth seed. They're not going anywhere. They could actually face the Avalanche in round one of the playoffs if the Avs, who still have a shot to be the best record in the West. They still got a shot to do that. So I think the Jets are on cruise control tonight. An intense push for the playoffs. The Avs could still win the division. I don't think they're just rolling over saying it's not important. The division's still at stake. They've done a good job killing penalties lately, the Avalanche have. They're playing well defensively. Things are pointing in the right direction for the Avalanche. And again, my best bet on this show tonight, we're going to go with the Avalanche puck line minus 105. More good news for the Avalanche, aside from Lehkonen returning tonight. Jared Bednar saying that Josh Manson's going to be back for the playoffs. So just leaves Gabe Landeskog out there. There's really no read on that situation outside of the organization as to whether or not he'll play in the first round or in the playoffs at all. But I'm saying this right now. Landeskog is a big loss. This team is still talented enough to win the cup, and they got a hell of a goaltender in Alexander Georgiev. So they have upgraded the goaltender position heading into the playoffs. Fourth and final front range four topic here. Not one to be taken lightly. My kids were crying after seeing the video. Police looking for a man who tackled Dinger back on Monday. Dinger, if you haven't seen the video, Dinger's just dancing, getting the crowd pumped up, dancing on the dugout. He's so excited. Love me some Dinger. Just a nice little dinosaur. Nice little man in a dinosaur suit. Maybe it's even a woman. So there's a guy. So first of all, the videotape is out there because Dinger was getting everybody excited. And then all of a sudden, you see a guy climb up onto the dugout and just full steam tackle Dinger. Like, what the heck? He's our purple dinosaur cheerleader here. You can't go out and tackle poor Dinger. I hope this guy does get arrested. Spend some time in jail. I mean, as silly as this seems, kids love Dinger. They don't need to see him get taken out. I guess you can lie to your kids and just say it was all set up, but no. This guy really knocked Dinger down. Very disappointing. What's not disappointing? The Nuggets. We're going to talk with Adam Mares from the DNVR. Again, lots to discuss with him. I want to ask him which team he'd prefer to face in the first round, whether it be OKC or the Timberwolves. We got to talk about Jamal Murray too. Don't forget, Jamal Murray has not been in a great spot with his thumb. So I think Jamal Murray has been the best thing to come out of this year. The fact that he's mentally and physically back, at least with the knee. The thumb is a little bit concerning. We also got to talk about the bench rotation as well, because that's something that's fairly big. Adam Mares, DNVR, we got the Nuggets, and we'll see who they're playing in the first round, OKC or Minnesota. But I'd like to rewind a little bit. First of all, hello, Adam. Thank you so much for hopping on once again. Check out the DNVR bar. It's a good time. Second of all, Jamal Murray. Should I be worried about Jamal Murray heading into these playoffs with the busted thumb? Because I'll just tell you this. I think the best thing to come out of the season is Murray being healthy for the most part. It doesn't seem like he's 100% right now. Is he going to be okay?
I think the thumb, you know, he played with it hurt for a couple games and he shot the ball okay. You know, he shot the ball well. So I think it's one of those things where it's obviously not ideal, but I don't think it affects him the way if he had like a sore hamstring or something like that. I think this is more of a minor thing he's going to have to deal with. But your question was, should I worry about Jamal? You can worry if you like. The thing is that he, to me, is the biggest X factor for the Nuggets. And you might say, well, he's the second best player. How can he be an X factor? Well, he's just so wildly inconsistent as a player that when he is great, when he is star caliber player, the Nuggets are an S tier team. When he's not, they're beatable by just about anyone. So for me, this playoffs is largely going to come down to Jamal Murray and just how much he can recapture his former playoff self.
You know, I'm with you. And it's not just an – he might be the most important player. You know what you're getting out of Jokic.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting out of Gordon. You don't know what you're getting out of Murray as it stands right now. So I'm just looking at these two teams, OKC, Minnesota. These are teams that the Nuggets should be able to handle in five games, you would think, right? But is there one team over the other you'd prefer to face? I'll just say OKC doesn't even belong in this spot. So I'd just go with them, but – which team would give the Nuggets a little problem?
I don't think either team should give the Nuggets a problem. And I don't. I really mean that, that Denver should handle these both of these teams in four or five. If it went beyond that, Denver, I think, underperformed in that matchup. But I think the easier one would probably be Oklahoma City. They're not without their, you know, the things that make them scary. First of all, Coach Dagonot, I think, is an incredible coach. He's by far the better of the two coaches and the one that I would be most concerned about coming up with some clever scheme that maybe other teams use down the line. People don't realize this is what happens in playoff series a lot. You go up against a team, and even if you get beat, other teams will look at what worked and what did not in the series prior. And with Coach Dagonot, I just think he's one of those guys that would probably unveil some things that give Denver problems that a better team might be able to exploit. That being said, I think that series is a four-game series. They have Jalen Williams, a rookie, that would be matched up against Nikola Jokic. He would put up whatever numbers he wanted. In the regular season, almost 70% from the field, Nikola Jokic in that matchup. So that's why I think OKC would be the easier.
He does love facing Gobert, though. There's no question about that. Hey, what about the path here? I think everybody's happy they don't have to face the Lakers. Yeah, I still think they could beat the Lakers. You don't want a 6 or 7-game series in the first round. What's the perfect path then? Is it the Clippers beating the Suns, the Warriors getting eliminated? Like, what is the path to getting to the championship?
I mean, it's at this point, you're right that I do think they avoided some of the tougher matchups. I mean, the Lakers in the first round would have been the toughest of the four play-in teams. The Warriors, I mean, who knows what version of the Warriors we're getting, but we know the good version is almost impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. So I do think they got the easier path, but I'd say this, you look at what the Nuggets have done against the Clippers. There is something to a mental edge. They came back from 3-1 in the bubble and smacked them in game 7. I think they've only lost to them once since then in the regular season, and they've had some high-profile wins over them, including a lot of clutch wins. And I just think that's a matchup that Denver really likes and that the Clippers don't like. So if they were to beat the Phoenix Suns, I do think that'd be favorable for Denver. But here's the thing, and this might sound crazy. I don't know that the Phoenix Suns are as unbeatable as people think. And they really have 3, maybe 4 players that are good. And they have a bunch of other players that would be 8th, 9th men in Denver's rotation. I think Denver can beat Phoenix. I think Denver thinks they can beat Phoenix. So I think either of those matchups, the Clippers or the Suns, provide superstar talent that scares you. But I think Denver has the tools to beat them.
What kind of position are the Nuggets in heading into the playoffs now? Is it all systems go, everything you'd want is there?
Well, I mean, they obviously limped into the playoffs. They gained that 8-game advantage over Memphis a month ago and then just completely took their foot off the gas pedal. So the fears are, did they downshift too much? Are they able to kind of flip that switch now and get into playoff mode? I think yes. Being at practice yesterday, everybody was very upbeat. I think there was a different energy in the building than what I've seen for the last really 6 weeks. So that was encouraging to see. I think Denver is in good shape, though. They're in a spot they've never been in before. Literally, in their NBA history, they've never been the number one seed going into the playoffs. But even within the Jokic era, they've never been in a spot where they could rest, be healthy, be fully focused and ready to go with a week of preparation for the playoffs. They've never had this luxury. So I think they are in a good spot and are sort of poised to make at least a Western Conference run. And we'll see what happens if they do make it to the finals.
Who's in and out of the circle of trust in the rotation? Like after, you know, you got Bruce Brown. Christian Brown's my guy from Kansas. He's done everything I thought he would do. He's their best defender. He needs minutes, man. He needs 25 minutes a game in the playoffs. I'm telling you. But what's the rotation looking like right now?
There's some series he might need more than 25, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, he's a 6'7 defender. He's the only 6'7 defender they have on the roster. So he can guard a special type of player if you get into a matchup where you need a little bit more length, a little bit more physicality. But I think he's clearly in the circle of trust with Michael Malone. So is Bruce Brown. Obviously, the starting five is in the circle of trust. After that, it's to be determined. I think Jeff Green is going to start out the playoffs in the circle of trust. I would not be surprised if he does not finish the playoffs there. In fact, I would be more surprised if he finished the playoffs in the circle of trust than I would if he got knocked out. Michael Malone's going to start with him. I imagine there will be matchups where he tries out Reggie Jackson. And Reggie Jackson has an interesting career. He always is an inefficient player in the regular season. He has a couple runs, including one of the Western Conference Finals with the Clippers 2 years ago, where he was basically the number two guy, and he played out of his mind running to the Western Conference Finals. So maybe he gets an opportunity and turns into his best playoff self, and he breaks into that. And then the wild card for me, or you can put Zeke Nagy in that in there as well. He'll probably get a shot in certain matchups. But the wild card to me is Peyton Watson. I just said the Nuggets, Christian Brown's a 6'7 defender, the only one they have. Peyton Watson, 6'8", 6'9". He's another type of defender. He only played the last week of the season, but he made such a strong impression that Michael Malone has referenced him several times in pressers saying, hey, don't be surprised if I throw him out there for defense in a playoff series for 4 or 5 minutes to see what he gives us. That will be exciting to see if it comes to it.
How many minutes is Jokic going to have to play a game?
37, probably. I mean, early in a series, it might be 36. Later in a series, it might be 40. Denver, I mean, look, it's no mystery. They've been terrible with him off the court. And when I just told you Zeke Nagy might get a chance here, Jeff Green might start in the circle of trust, we're already looking at there's not a lot of bigs behind Jokic that Denver trusts right now. So he might be a guy that has to start a series at 37, finish a series around 40, 41. And let's not forget, 3 years ago, he played 65 minutes in a 4 OT game, 65 out of 68. So Michael Malone, the deeper you get into a playoff series, the more important the games become. He's not afraid to give him 2 minute rests in each quarter or in each half. And that's it. You got to play through the rest.
All right, my friend, what's the expectations then? Get into the championship, get through to the conference finals. What are your expectations for this team, Adam?
So we had Calvin Booth on our show a couple of days ago, and he had a great line about it's for me, it's always about process as much as it is about the results. I think that is true. Look, Denver needs to be a contender this year, which means they need to be one of the best teams. And I'll go ahead and say a number. They need to be one of the four best teams in this playoffs. Does that mean you win the championship? Well, obviously you want – that's the goal. So there is an expectation that you put yourself in position to. But I think at the end of the day, if you lose, you have to look like you had a chance. We've seen teams like Milwaukee come up a game short, and then 1 year break through by a toenail. They break through and end up winning a championship. I think with Denver, you look at it and say, they have a window of opportunity. They need to win one now, whether it's this year, next year, the year after, but they have to look like a team that is capable of winning. So for me, if you wanted to put a limit on it, you would say, I think anything short of the Western Conference Finals would be disappointing. But more importantly, they just have to compete with every team and look like they're on the same level as the best teams.
I'm with you. Very good. Adam Morris, thednvr.com. You know all about it. They take care of all four major sports. See you as well. and check out all the shows there from Adam and the gang too. Harrison Wynn doing a great job with the Nuggets as well. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate everybody listening. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio for Melissa, Adam, and Terry. I appreciate it. And thanks for checking out the Denver City Cast and the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.